first time this afternoon, and this is my first time. So. And I think we better pray some more. Lord, we love to pray to you because we know you're listening. Our Heavenly Father, we want to bless you by gathering like this, and we want to gather to you. May you continue to encourage us, and may we continue to bless your name this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I appreciate the songs our brother just offered up to the Lord. Our strength is little, and because I have some physical limitations myself. Don't be alarmed if I need a little breath or something there. And I'm just going to have a seat here, so hope that's all right. I carry something over my heart. It's in my pocket here. I carry it every day. Besides my Starbucks card, but it's that someone generously gave me on my shopping list, which I didn't do. But I have a verse here from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's verses 13 and 14. You can turn there if you like, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll read it out, so you don't need to turn there. But we will talk about and share about these verses a little more later. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love." Amen. Amen to that. And we're going to be talking about what these verses are about, because they're to encourage us to keep following the Lord in a world where it is difficult to follow the Lord. Now, when I was a young man, I was invited to the Philippines to co-work with people there. And it was a time of the gospel expanding into new areas of the Philippines. And it met a lot of resistance. It met resistance from the Roman Catholic Church that was there, but it more violently from Maoist rebels who were cut off from their funds from China, so they became basically bandits. But they hated Christians. And they hated Christians because when people met the Lord Jesus, they became brave and strong. And they could not be pushed around anymore. They were not afraid and could be submissive to what these rebels, these bandits, wanted. So they regularly would kill pastors. They would intimidate Christians as much as they could. I remember I was in one town where everybody was really staring at me a lot. I was doing pastoral training and church planting, and I asked one of my coworkers, "Why is everyone staring at me so much?" And they've seen white people in that town before, and He said, well, a year, the last white person they saw was a missionary who had been shot down by the rebels there in the town square, just basically where we were. Okay, that sobered me up fast. And then I, one of my another one of the co-workers, his brother had been a human rights lawyer there in the Philippines, and he had been gunned down by the police in his town because he had been defending people from police abuse in that town. He felt that was his calling from God. So I just mention that because there's a lot of violence in the world. And I met my share of those old uncles and aunties in China who experienced violence in their past in that country. And even today, you know, I get this every month. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. Some of you may know about this. This is a publication every month comes out describing Christians in different countries of the world who are being killed, tortured, imprisoned for their faith. Be happy to share some of these with you later. Now, we, you and I, are not experiencing violence following Jesus. At least I certainly hope not. Not in your homes, at least. I hope that coming here this afternoon did not put you in physical danger. It does in many places in the world. It did at the time when God put these verses in Paul's heart when he needed to share them 2,000 years ago. It's still true in many places of the world. But how do these verses, these commands from God apply to you and me today? We don't have the physical violence, but we still have to fight a good fight. We have to fight in spirit and soul to follow Jesus. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that following Jesus is not easy. Let's look at Jesus' own words in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16. Let's see what Jesus was telling his disciples right at the beginning of things. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. Who would like to stand and read 13 through 20 for us? Is there someone who could do that for us? Anyone would like to stand and read? Everyone's going to sit there. Let me do all the work, huh? Oh, well, thank you, David. Well, There they were, just starting out their journey with our Lord Jesus, right at the beginning. And God gave a special revelation to Peter, letting him, among all the others, know who Jesus is. And he was blessed. He was blessed because God's touch on him. Well, with that blessing of revelation came a warning from our Lord Jesus. In the verse 18, it says, I will build my church. Jesus is saying, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Hades. Hades being the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of death. Hades was the place of death, and it has a gate. Now, maybe some of you are Yo Chen Ren, very rich. You have you live in a fancy house with a gated community. You know, people have to punch in, come in to see you and all that. But you know, we're not used to gates and walls in this country. But when I was growing up in France, the city my family lived in, we lived close to a tower. You know, this city had a wall. It had a tower that was 700 years old, you know, and it kept people out. And then I remember being in Wuhan back in the 90s, and they still had a lot of the wall around Wuhan. And that was very old. And they had huge gates in those days. It's all been torn down now. But gates with huge walls was everywhere. When Jesus said the gates of Hades, everybody understood what walls and gates were for. It had a military purpose. It was to protect. Well, what are the gates of Hades protecting? Satan's kingdom, this world. He's in control of this world. But it says here, Jesus saying, but the gates of Hades will not overpower the church. And that's you and me. That's the followers of Jesus. You see, Jesus was planning for his followers to start invading Satan's world. We are coming in, and God's going to touch people's spirits. He's going to save souls. He's going to reclaim lives. It's going to push, take back territory Satan had been holding on. Do you get the picture? Invasion. God's people invading the enemy's territory and saving lives for eternity. That's what you and I are supposed to be about. And Satan has gates, but those gates will not be too strong. But it means confrontation. It means violence. It means there's going to be a fight. So it's not just preaching that pushes on those gates. It's not just me here talking about God's word that's pushing on Satan's gates in this world. It's living out the life of Christ every day in all that we do. That's all of us, right? I'm just spending an hour here sharing with you. That's pushing on God. Lord willing, it's pushing on Satan's gates. But what's most important is the rest of the week, right? The majority of the week. Are you pushing on the gates of Hades? Are you pushing back that darkness of death in this world? Have you thought about yourself in that way? A soldier of Christ, a disciple of Christ, pushing back gates of darkness and death? Wow. Well, that's what Jesus wanted us to understand right at the first thoughts about what it means to be in church. Well, that may sound a little sobering. And we're going, wow, I didn't sign up for that. You know, I didn't sign up to be pushing back the forces of darkness and death and Satan himself. Because that's the only weapon he's got is the fear of death, right? But look, if you have this perspective, you will see this throughout God's word, and especially in the New Testament, about this spiritual battle, this spiritual fight, and your part, my part in it. And Paul, who God used to write much of the New Testament, guess what? He played both sides of the battle, didn't he? One moment, he's leading armed guards to go to a city so he could kill and arrest, imprison Christians. And then the next moment, he's the hunted. Do you remember how he was in Damascus and he was saved by Jesus, and then he needed to escape? And he was in a city that had a big wall and a big gate, and they were waiting to kill him at the gate. The people who hated Christians, the people who were counting on Paul to help them, now he was a traitor. And now he had to escape. Other Christians had to lower him in a basket over the wall to escape that stronghold. Now, Paul understood the importance of the battle. And he often used military words to describe it. Anyone here ever serve in the military? Yes, Taiwan, military. They put you on one of those little islands and face off Dalu and, yeah. Oh, Navy, wow. Anyone else? Okay, well, it's not surprising. When I was 17, I made sure to my family, we left France, so I didn't do my 2 years in the French army. Now, in Paul's time, the military was everywhere. Everywhere you looked were Roman soldiers. They had hundreds of thousands of men in their armor, in their capes, in their helmets, in their swords. They were everywhere, in every big street, every town, every city, many villages. Everyone in this Bible times, New Testament times, they saw soldiers, the world's best soldiers at that time. And everyone understood how the Romans had conquered their country. Everyone could imagine exactly what Paul meant when he said, be on guard. Okay, we're talking about a fight. And some of us right now are saying, no, sorry, Marcel, I don't want to hear about this. I don't like to think about my following Jesus as being a fight. Because that sounds messy. Sounds like it might mess up my life. It might distract my life. You know, getting pushback in my daily life because I'm following Jesus. I don't want that. But let's talk about what Peter was feeling. I'm back in Matthew chapter 16. And we had a brave volunteer. Anyone else want to read a few verses? I'm purposely getting in your face to see if anyone's willing to offer up some service to the Lord besides me. Okay. Who wants to read verses 21 through 23 of chapter 16? Anyone? Someone stand tall. Proclaim God's word out loud. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. Okay. Now, Jesus would not be a pastor very long in any fellowship with that kind of manner. But here's the thing. He made clear to Peter that he was under the influence of Satan. And he needed to get out of the way or get with the program. Now, I have often been like Peter and say, Jesus, you know, for God forbid that you're going to make me really be like that, be want to do that, or go there, or go do this. Many times I've tried to stop Jesus from going his way because that I don't want to follow him now. Okay, I'm not talking about Philippines or China. I'm talking about just daily life, our lives here. But Jesus is not going to compromise for you and me. He's going to keep pushing on those gates of Hades, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates. He's going to keep pushing on the gates that are holding those people captive in eternal death. He wants you to follow him. Now, Peter would learn his lessons, and we're learning ours, right? Now, for those of us, let me just say this clearly, okay? I'm trying to think of a PC way to say this, but it just won't. Okay. In today's Christianity here in America, if you raise your hand, say a prayer, show up at least a few times a month, then you're going to heaven. But it's just not. The people who are going to heaven, who are going to enjoy eternal life with the God who made them and loves them, are the people who are going to stick with Jesus until the end. When you get hit by the bus or you're in ICU somewhere, your heart stops, you know, however it happens, it's the people who follow Jesus. They're the ones who are saved, okay? Now, it starts with a prayer. It starts with raising your hand, maybe. It starts, and you certainly better have that desire to want to gather and show up for meetings, but it's about following him, okay? So don't kid yourself. My mom and dad know, they go every Sunday. That's good. I'll get in now. So I want you to understand, Jesus is moving and we need to keep following him. And I tell you, I've wanted to stop following him plenty of times because things didn't work out the way I wanted them to work out. I thought I was going to serve Jesus the way, a certain ways, and he always changes things. And it's always a surprise, and I've been disappointed. I've been offended by Jesus. He doesn't seem to listen to me a lot of times. And maybe that's true for you. But we've got to keep following him. And you can't take a 30-year break and then on your deathbed, oh, Jesus, remember me? You've got to keep following him. Because that means you're saved. That means the decision the recognition that Jesus had reached out and touched you with his spirit and saved you, it was real because you want to keep following him no matter what. That's where you know you're working out your salvation that he has given you. Well, now we're going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's take a look at some of these commands. May the Lord encourage us, because these commands are not just for the people in Corinth. 2,000 years ago, they are for you and me. Chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Who would stand, please, and read those two verses for us? Who would like to please stand and read chapter 16, verse 13 and 14? Thank you, sir. That would be good. Thank you. Now, you'll notice that translation, our brother read, talked about men. Be a man, okay? Now, let's get over the gender issues here, because all these commands were military language. Paul purposely was given by the Holy Spirit these commands. There's five of them. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, excuse me, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. These are military language, and that was for men in those days, for sure. There were no ladies in the Roman army in those days. And the first one is be on guard. Now, we know that Roman soldiers could not fall asleep when they were on guard, a sentry at night. If they were found asleep, they would be executed in front of all their fellow soldiers the next day. And of course, if they were out on the field surrounded by the enemy, it could mean their death from the enemy and also the death of their fellow soldiers. You see, when God is commanding you and me to be on guard, he's saying, this is for you, but it's for all your brothers and sisters. Because we are in the body of Christ. We are in this gathering. We are in a fellowship. It's life and death. Are we going to be asleep? Or are we going to stay awake, stay alert? We have to be on guard, because there are lots of things attacking your faith right now. It may not be going on secret police. It may not be Maoist rebels or, you know, Muslim fanatics or something like that. But what's attacking your faith right now? What do you need to be on guard about? Think about it. What do you need to be on guard? Why do you need to be alert right now? Do we have to be like a Roman soldier, javelin in our hand, shield by our side, alert? What's going to be attacking your faith in Jesus right now? Is it Satan? He's organizing all these attacks against us. He's masterminding everything, but he rarely shows up on our doorstep. He uses all kinds of other ways to attack us. And what's attacking your faith right now? is it people in your lives, the friends you've chosen? Is it what you're choosing to watch on Netflix? Or is it that girlfriend or boyfriend that you're hoping to get? Or just staying up too late on Saturday night? That's why you come to Sunday afternoon, or I don't know. What is it that's attacking your faith? You need to be on guard. And you need to see yourself standing not alone. You need to be with others who are standing guard with you. Roman guards always stood within shouting distance of the next sentry, the next guard. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Hey, someone's just put a knife in me. Help me, you know. You got to have someone run up fast to help out. So I want you to be on guard. That's what Jesus wants. That's what I want for you. I tell you what I'm on guard about. It's something internal. I'm always feeling sorry for myself. I have some physical limitations. It makes things really hard sometimes. And Satan's always able to get me to start feeling sorry for myself really easy. Maybe you have things going on in your life that make you feel sorry for yourself. See, that's an internal attack. You've got to be on guard. Because I start to think, maybe Jesus doesn't really love me. Maybe he's not healing me the way I think he should. Maybe. Be on guard. Let's look at the second one. Stand firm in the faith. Here. Yeah, so stand firm in the faith. What? Stand firm, that makes sense. What's your faith, though? What is your faith that you need to guard and stand firm in? What is your faith? Now, I want to make a clear difference between faith in God and the faith of God. This isn't deep. This isn't too heavy. You can handle this. Now, faith in God is like a lot of people have faith in God, right? And that means you believe that God's real. And you may believe some of the things. Yeah, Jesus was real. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming back. You believe in these things, okay? But the demons all believe in those things. They believe in God. And they're the ones attacking us. That's why they attack us, because they believe in God and they're scared. But we want to be on guard and firm in the faith of God. Because God is the one who provides faith for us. Okay, we won't spend time in those verses, but Paul in other places praises God for the faith he allows us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author of our faith. He places faith in us. Now it's our job to guard it and stand firm in it and strengthen it. Does that make sense? Your parents, maybe your parents gave you a car. Wouldn't that be nice? And they gave you a car. And you believe in that car. But you're the one who has to learn to drive it and take care of it, fill it up, and pay the insurance and the tabs, okay? You are given faith by God, but you need to guard it or it will be taken from you. If it can't be taken, it will be made useless. So it won't run. Now, simply believing in something is not enough. And you know, today we get confused because we think, wow, I believe in God. That's a pretty big deal. All my friends at school don't believe in God. All my coworkers, whoa. If they knew I really believe in God, I'd be getting a lot of trouble. if I really started talking about Jesus at work, I'd, boy. But guess what? You know, believing in God, in Paul's day, everybody believed in God, or gods, many gods, around the world. Most people believe in some god or gods. It's just like in America and Europe, we have a problem. Like, ooh, you believe in God? How interesting. You know, how curious. Of course, they tried to stop it in China. It didn't work, did it? And it's not good enough. Believing in God is not good enough. What you need to guard and stand firm in is the faith God gave you. It's precious. You just didn't decide to believe in God. God made it possible for you to believe in God. God is giving you faith in him. Now, how are you going to maintain it? So, God's life is in you. He's working in you. And now we work out our faith by protecting it. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. It says here, I'll read it for us. Because this is what Paul said you should be believing in. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold firm the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, yours truly, Paul. He appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. See, he was on both sides of the battle. Now, those are the things that you believe in your faith. So, are you choosing to be with Christians who believe all these things? Are you saying, what I care most about is the format, or the timing of the meeting, or they need a speaker who can keep my attention, who's practical? Or are you in a group of believers who believes all these things Paul just listed? Be on guard. Don't be drawn away, tempted to join gatherings that do not believe all these things are literally true. So stand firm in the faith. Look at as we look at the third command back in chapter 16, it says, act like men. Okay. Now again, you know, we're talking about soldiers, talking about no prisoners, it's all or nothing. Romans were not big on taking prisoners because they were not taking prisoners usually. And so that means in your faith, you've got to be ruthless. You've got to decide, I'm not compromising. You know, I'm not compromising. Yeah, you know, I'm with some friends, but they go to a fellowship where they really don't talk about Jesus coming back again. Whoa, coming, you know, like that means like we're really accountable. Isn't Jesus just really about teaching me how to have a good life? Or are you, you know, you've got to be careful. You've got to be strong. You have to say, this is a battle. I'm in this battle. I need to be be strong and firm. Right? I need to be a good soldier for myself and for those around me. Okay? It's not just about you. It's about all of us. And you need to look and pray for other Christians to surround you who have the same desire to please God. The fourth one, be strong. Now, what Paul's talking about here, of course, the Roman soldiers, they were buff, they were strong, they carried, you know, 80 pounds of equipment everywhere they went, all that armor and stuff. They built all these roads and bridges and things that are here thousands of years later. But they were strong emotionally. They were taught to be strong in battle. One of the things that made it really hard to fight the Romans for a lot of other armies, in those days it was all about being macho and being tough and scary. Other armies, the soldiers would, the other enemy troops, they'd shout and scream and wave, and they would come, their biggest guys would come running out in front of the Roman soldiers and challenge some of their guys. Send your, you know, Goliath and David stuff. Send out your toughest guy, I'll kill him, you know. And the Roman soldiers would all just stand there quiet, all lined up perfectly. No one would shout back. No matter what insults were given, the Roman soldiers were trained to be emotionally strong. They were focused. And they did not show, you know, they did not give in to the taunts and temptations to break their ranks. Are you emotionally strong in your faith? Yes, you have ups and downs. Yes, you have many doubts. We all do. And God wants to answer your doubts and your fears and your tears. But the next morning when you wake up, are you praising God again? Are you saying, God, pick me up. I'm yours. Help me follow you. I'm going through this last few months. Boy, lost my job, got sick, this, that happened. It's been, I'm down, but I'm not out. I'm still in the ranks, and I want to be in the ranks. That's being strong emotionally. Right? And it means you're not strong. You don't get by on all those other things. You don't use alcohol or opiates or pornography or, you know, or Facebook or what are people using snappy shots, what do you call that, Snapchat, yeah, thank you, or whatever, you know, sorry, I don't have an iPhone, can't use it. But what is it that is sucking up all your emotional energy? Maybe it's the success of your children or lack of success that's bothering you. You know, all these kind of things. We want to be strong emotionally because Jesus loves us. That's where our strength is. My 8-year-old daughter has a poster by her bed that says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And we say that verse together every night before I kiss her goodnight, because I want her to know that the source of her joy, you know, it's in God. God provides joy. Her strength to get through this life is going to be in the joy God has in loving us. So ask yourself, what's making me strong today? What's keeping me strong? Is it because God loves me? That's what gets me through today? I tell you, I've had some emotional struggles recently. Okay, I've had to go see a counselor who helps me get my thoughts in line. And she's a Christian herself, and you know, she's helping me focus on how good God is, God's love. Are you doing that? Do you need it? I don't need to think about God's love. Everything's great. Ooh, be on guard. You're not being very firm. Finally, the last one is verse 40. Let all that you do be done in love. Now that is the hardest, or is it? Let everything be done in love? Do I have any siblings in here? Gaga, DDs, Maymays, JJs, you know, anybody here like that? Are you two? Yeah? Are you like siblings? Yeah, do you love each other? I mean, you know, basically, right? Yeah, okay. I got one, yeah, okay. Yeah, so, you know, do everything in love while you know. That's hard in your family, isn't it? Do everything in love, just starting at home is hard. But do everything in love. What does that mean? Do everything in love. It means controlling your passion. Do you have a passion for life, for your family? For sharing God's love with your family? Every morning I wake up and I say, God, please let me be a channel of your light and love and life for my wife and my two little kids. Help me, Lord. You do it through me, please. And you know why I have to pray that every day? Because it's so impossible. You know, if I can get, you know, past breakfast without aggravating, you know, making someone not happy with me, I'm so, praise the Lord, you know. Because it's not that we do everything in love and everybody likes us. Everybody smiles at us on Sunday afternoon when they see us. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that brother. He always says the right thing. He's always so nice and friendly. No, it's because you know that person loves you in Christ. Now, do the people in your life know that you love them in Christ? Mom, I'm going to pray for you. Dad, I'm going to pray for you. Kids, I'm going to pray for you about this. I'm trying to help my you know, our children to say, can you pray for your mom and dad? Can you pray for me, kids? And they will when I ask them to. But I'm really looking forward to the day when they're going to be, the Holy Spirit, you know, they'll respond. The Holy Spirit's going to have them praying. Because, boy, I sure need their prayers. But I know my children, the most important thing is that they know I love them in the Lord. And do your friends know that you want to share God's love with them? Not you know, make them say, that comes through showing God's love to them. But do you have people in your circle who know that you love them in the Lord? That you care about their eternal life? That you want to encourage them if you can? So do everything in love. Now, that doesn't sound like, how does that fit in with the tough Roman soldier? Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Well, do everything in love. That means you, because you love the people around you, your brothers and sisters, your family, your friends, your classmates, because you hold very precious what God has given you, his life, and you're sharing it with them. Let's call on the Lord. Heavenly Father, these words have rambled here and there. I pray that you would find use for them in the lives and hearts of people here. Lord, we know just believing in you is not special or enough. We want to possess and guard the faith you've given us and stand firm in it and guard it and share it and follow you through the gates of death and darkness to share your life and light and love around us. Thank you for making the impossible possible. In Jesus' name we pray.